question remains, and I know this is your question, is that why didn't the Wright brothers ever marry? Well, I guess no woman was ever looking for Mr. Wright. That's my only guess. And a follow-up question, the obvious follow-up question, is why weren't the Wright brothers Chinese? Well, I guess two Wongs never made a Wright. As simple as that. Good morning, everyone. Martin Zender here once again. I got the Wright brothers on the brain because of this book. It's called, again, The Reverse Image. I apologize for that. Haven't figured that out yet. It's called The Wright Brothers, which is a sensible title, a great title, a to-the-point title when you're writing a book about the Wright brothers by David McCullough, who is the two-time Pulitzer Prize winner. He wrote 1776. He wrote John Adams, The Great Bridge, The Johnstown Flood, and other notable books. And so, as you may have already guessed, I'm getting on a sidetrack here. Maybe it's my hesitancy to launch into the despicable topic of Babylon. But no, actually not. Actually, I was looking forward to getting to Babylon. I'm a little disappointed in this sidetrack myself, because the beginning of Babylon is the beginning of the end, and it means we're winding up on the unveiling of Jesus Christ. But there are so many awesome things in this book that I just read, and I recommend this book to you, The Wright Brothers by David McCullough. It's a number one New York Times bestseller, because we are pioneers. We are unheralded. We are unnoticed, we are uncelebrated, and yet we, you and I, ladies and gentlemen, are the next big thing. By no virtue of us, of our own. We didn't initiate any of this, and we're not making it happen. But the next big thing on God's program is not the unveiling of Jesus Christ, as detailed in the book of Revelation, but it is the making immortal of us, members of the body of Christ. We are the next big thing on God's timetable, perfecting, finishing the body of Christ, so that the work of returning the universe, not just humanity, but the universe to God, may begin in earnest. This sounds fantastic. If you saw my video, Psycho Boy, check it out again. I mean, if you've seen it, look at it again. If you haven't seen it, check it out for the first time. You go to my website. You're there now, martinzender.com. You go to the Crack of Dawn Report, and it's called Psycho Boy. The things God says of us and the future that He has laid out before us is so fantastic that if you were to tell somebody it, they would think that you were crazy. Some people still somehow think that we're crazy. I know, it's hard to believe. But as fantastic as it is, it's true. Not as even more fantastic than powered flight. Now, I remind you that powered flight was a dream of humanity for many, many years. Obviously, Adam saw the birds flying around, but he couldn't figure out how to do it himself. You know, you could try flapping your wings, running fast, attaching feathers to your arms. Humanity has dreamed of flying for 6,000 years. And for some reason, not until 1903, and these guys, the Wright brothers, was powered flight a reality. When I say powered flight, people had learned how to glide. They could make wings, primitive wings, and they could glide. Nobody could control it. Nobody could figure out how to do it except to tape wings to yourself or hang on to some homemade wings and jump off a hill. That's the way they did it, the gliders, the glider people. But even that didn't come around until maybe the turn of the century, 1900. Now, people went up in hot air balloons. They went up and they filled balloons with gaseous substances. What do they put in? Helium? yeah, I don't know, whatever. The Hindenburg, that didn't work out too well. But you see, it has been in humanity's heart to leave the confines of this planet, of this ground, of the old terra firma, and to head off into the atmosphere, because that's where we look in our whimsy. That's where we dream. We look up. Why? I think because things are so bad down here. Things are so bad down here. And we look up and we see the vast expanse of heaven. And we think, I think it would be fun to go there. Yeah, it would be very fun to go there. And so this has been the dream of humanity. And the interesting thing is the analogy I'm going to draw as I get into passages here from this excellent book is that our realm is inherent in the heavens, and that we are now poised to go where no human has ever gone. You say, Martin, humans have gone into space. The Wright brothers started an amazing path along the course of aviation, where planes became more sophisticated. Planes became rockets, spaceships, the lunar module. We've been to the moon. And as fantastic as that is, you and I are poised to go further. People who go to the moon, they have to take pieces of Earth with them. They have to take atmosphere with them. People have gone on spacewalks, men and women, yes, but they have huge masks that contain part of the Earth. They have to bring oxygen with them in order to live, because you can't live unaided in space. But we are going to be transformed. Our bodies are going to be transformed into a body that does not require the soil and the air of this earth to survive. The grass. We live on grass. I know you don't eat it, but the cows do. And you eat the cows, some of you. Those of you who don't, you eat the plants. You eat the salad. You eat the greens. Where do the greens come from? From the soil. What is your body made of? Soil. I don't care where you go, what you eat, it's traceable to something that comes up from the soil. The soil is the stuff of life on this earth. In fact, we're made of it. We are made. Every element found in the soil is found in our human bodies. I should find a percentage sometime. But, you know, this is all the earth. This is all the earth. And Israel loves the earth. And as we know, Israel has a calling to shepherd all the nations of the earth during the 1,000 years, that very time period we're talking about in the unveiling. We, as the body of Christ, our task is not to reconcile those of the earth. We will reconcile those of the heavens. Those, I did say those. There are beings populating the heavens. Many, many more, I believe, than on the earth. We are going there. In order to do that, we're not going to... Well, I was going to say we don't need any detailed preparation, but we do. But the preparation is of spirit, not of flesh. It's not of soil. It's of spirit. Great quote in here from Wilbur Wright that I'm going to be getting to. I thought this was going to be a one-day sidetrack. Looks like it's going to be more. Wilbur said this, "We don't need more power. We need more control." Wow, when I read that, it blew my mind. I'm going to give you that whole context here in the next couple days. We didn't need more power. We needed more control. And this is what the Pentecostals think. This is what humans think. You need more Holy Ghost power. And so they think that power belongs to noise and commotion and emotionalism. But even in the scriptures, when you look at manifestations of the Holy Spirit, it was always under control. The Holy Spirit was under control. Nobody was ever rolling on the floor, laughing hysterically, uncontrollably. No. Now, we're not saying we don't need power. We do need power. But God is giving us a measure of power, and with that power, we are controlling ourselves in the world. And I thought that was interesting, that it's realization of the truth that Paul would have us have, which it does come by power, but it doesn't take much spirit, relatively speaking, to manifest the kind of control I'm talking about. So when I say control, I may not just mean your behavior. I may quite possibly, and I think I do, mean a realization. In order to control flight, in order to take one of those gliders and make it do what you wanted it to do, the Wright brothers had to understand how air moved around an airfoil. Because nobody really understood that. Nobody understood how to manipulate it. And what they needed was knowledge. They needed knowledge of how that worked. And the cool thing was that they conducted early experiments on their airplanes based on information that had gone before, based on tables and charts of winds and airfoils that were made by their predecessors. What they found was that these guys were guessing at it and that their tables were flawed. When the Wright brothers realized that, they had to throw out all previous knowledge and start from scratch. They had to build their own tables. They had to conduct their own experiments. They built a wind tunnel. I've seen this wind tunnel at the Henry Ford Museum in Dearborn, Michigan. They built this in their bicycle shop in Dayton, Ohio. These are Ohio kids, man. I'm a native of Ohio. These are my boys, the Wright brothers. Another great quote from Wilbur here. He says, if I were to give anybody advice on how to get a great start in life, I would tell them this. Choose a good mother and father and start your life in Ohio. Wow. Choose a good mother and father and start your life in Ohio. That's exactly what I did. I chose an excellent mother and father and I started my life in Ohio. So many analogies here that I'm excited about. How little things made a huge difference. This is interesting. For 6,000 years, nobody could fly. Suddenly, the Wright brothers discovered small little principles that, after they found them, seemed obvious to everyone. And with these principles, they were able to fly an aircraft. And after that, everybody started flying. In the scriptures, there are small adjustments that we need to make in translation. Once these little adjustments are made, boom, suddenly you see God's plan shining brightly. And someday everybody's going to see it. It's going to be so obvious. People are going to say, why didn't we see this before? But you and I, we are the pioneers now. We're the people doing it now. And of course, not everybody gets it. And back in the early days of the Wright brothers, I'm telling you, even when they were doing it, not everybody got it. They were freaking flying at Huffman's Prairie in Dayton 2 years after their monumental first flight at Killdevil Hills, North Carolina, and people still didn't know it was happening because the mindset of humanity was so that this can't be. Plus, who are these guys? Two mechanics from Dayton. They had no formal education. They were homeschooled. They were very simple men. Again, didn't go to college, and they owned a bicycle shop. And it's like, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And yet these guys, they rejected the learning of their elders. Well, no, not completely. They used what they could. They discarded what didn't work, and they set out on their own adventure. And folks, the analogy here is flying. Are you getting that with me? The analogy is flying. Look at this primitive airplane. This is Wright Flyer 1. This is the thing. This is the machine that took off at Killdevil Hills, otherwise known as Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, different area there. But anyway, this is the machine. This was historical because humanity has never done it before. What is about to happen with us is even more historical. Obviously, it blows this little machine out of the water. And yet, this guy wrote a best-selling book about it. New York Times bestseller. Hey, how come my books aren't on the New York Times bestseller list? Huh? Where's First Idiot in Heaven? Because this book details how we are going to fly. How we are going to fly. Not only fly, but pierce realms unpierced before by human beings. This book does that. You see anything on here that says New York Times bestseller? No. Why? Because nobody knows about it now. Why? Because we're the Wright brothers of 1902. We're the Wright brothers of 1903. This isn't our era to be celebrated. But the Wright brothers were eventually celebrated, just as we will be eventually celebrated. Here it comes, folks, the analogy between the Wright brothers and our epic flight in the near future.